Doc, the clock has started.
Roger.
This is Morning Show. Here are your hosts, Kyle and Kenny.
Good morning, Kenny.
Good morning, Kyle.
How are ya?
I am awake.
Or not?
No, I'm awake.
Okay.
No, I promise I'm awake.
I thought we were about to play a game, and maybe you had a clever, really nicely
awake or not.
Produced intro segment for what you'd like to call awake or not.
Awake or not? No, I would say that I have nothing for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm awake too, and we're here live right now over on Twitch and goodstuff.fm/live.
Which is just Twitch, isn't it?
It is just Twitch. It's just embedded in the live page. But it's convenient. It's easy to remember.
Remember.
You said it and forget it. Ron Papil.
Ron Papil?
Yeah, I would like to also thank Mike Biesterfeld for hosting us right now. He's hosting us over on his channel. So any followers? Hi, I'm Kyle. This is Kenny. Which way? This way. That's Kenny. Other way. The other way. Point. Put your finger right here. No, the other way. Keep going. This is really bad.
This way.
This way.
Kenny, how was your weekend? Tell me about your weekend.
Let's see. This weekend, what did I do? Oh, guess what I got. You have to guess.
I can't.
Okay, you can't guess.
A puppy.
I got the PlayStation. I know. I got the PlayStation VR. Mm-hmm. What? You can't buzz that.
I was wrong.
Well, that's right. You were wrong. I did not get another puppy. No.
There's nothing wrong with the PSVR.
No, it's awesome. So, and the best part is that I believe it was supposed to be delivered on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to have the headset delivered. So it came in like three pieces. Number one was the camera. You have to get the camera. Number two was the Move controllers. So I got the Move controllers separately. And then I got the headset separately. Three different shipments. I don't know why. But the headset was coming the day after the camera. It was coming on Sunday. And I was really excited. And I was ready. I was like setting everything up. So I was ready to get the headset set up and then just start using it. And the day was going by. And about 3 o'clock rolled around. And I get a notification from Amazon, because it was being delivered by USPS, and it said, alert, the carrier was not able to access the front door, or something like that.
Okay.
Or not able to access the location.
They were not able to walk it through your front door and play the PlayStation VR. You need to allow this male person to actually enter your home. Please.
Yeah, I guess that was the case. I remember that I was sitting on my couch at 3 o'clock, which is the timestamp that it said. Or no, sorry, 2:59. Who knows? I may have been in another universe at 2:59.
You sneezed and missed him.
Right.
You just missed it.
So I was thinking, I guess they're just gonna come back tomorrow. And my wife says, no, email them, like email Amazon and say, hey, the package didn't get arrived or didn't get delivered because somebody messed up or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, all right. So I sent an email and
to Amazon. They got
back to Amazon saying, hey, the package was supposed to be delivered today. That's what you guys were promising. It didn't get delivered because of so-and-so, which was crazy because I don't know why. And then I said, just get back to me. They got back to me in about a couple hours, about 5 o'clock. I get an email that says, oh, we're super sorry. We're so sorry. We're Amazon, blah, blah, blah. We sent another one. We sent another one at no charge.
Wait.
So do you have two now?
And so I thought, that's a little extreme. Stop talking right now.
Do you have two?
I have a story, Kyle.
Do you have two?
And
Can I have one?
And so I said, okay, I guess they're sending another one. And they said, if the other one gets delivered, let us know so that we can cancel that order, that second order. I said, okay, that sounds like a good idea.
But the orders aren't
been processed. Well, you need to stop talking. I'm telling a story.
I need to know what happened.
No, you don't need to know right now because I'll get to that part.
Get to it.
I wake up the next day, which is yesterday morning, and I have a couple notifications that the second headset has been shipped. And I thought, that's a little preemptive. I haven't even told them whether or not the other one has come in or not. I mean, I guess I told them that the other one didn't come in, but they shipped the new one. And I thought, oh, great. What if the other one comes? And I have two headsets. About 1 o'clock yesterday in the afternoon, I get the original shipment. Ooh. It finally gets delivered to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I crack it open and I get it all set up because that was kind of what I was waiting for yesterday anyway. And it's awesome. And it was great. And I think as I was finishing the setup, I get a ding dong on the door and the same exact box gets delivered by a different person.
Oh no.
So that box is now, and I know what it is, right? There's no question about it.
It wasn't a surprise to begin with, so
right.
Why does that matter?
They did same day shipping, which is pretty impressive, I'd have to say. But okay, so now I have a PSVR headset sitting in my living room in an Amazon box, untouched. No, I emailed them back and I said, hey guys, looks like you sent a... sent an extra one. And so I about an hour later, I got an email back that said, oh, actually, you know what? I have to read what the email says because
it says
it's poorly worded, but it's very commendable, I guess, is the word I could use.
All right.
Let me get this loaded up.
Go ahead.
It says... this is Vishal from Amazon. I understand your concern regarding the two items you received, as the first one was delayed due to transport error. Certainly, this is not what we want for our customers to experience, and I will be glad to resolve this issue for you. I can understand the honest generosity and kindness you possess to inform us about everything in a perfect, which help us in a great way, and Amazon salutes you for your gesture, and I have spread this information to my team lead and everyone in our association, and everyone is very happy and tagged you under our most desirable customer league.
Grammar. Wait. You're in a league? First of all, how is it possible that Amazon is more verbose and makes you sound like more of a champion to the world than our own president does? First of all, one, two, yeah. Wrap all that, put a bow on it, and shoot it to the freaking moon. Two. That's
terribly worded.
I wonder if there is a fantasy league for customers where the second that a customer shows up, they're placing bets to see, well, one, when can this get resolved? And two, is it going to be something that the male folks mess up again, or have they solved your problem?
You know, it's like, let me continue reading this email.
Yeah, like when you go into like a Law and Order SVU, you know, main room, I'm thinking like Detective Stabler is trying to bet whether or not Kenny's going to get his PSVR headset today or not. PSVR or not.
More from Vishal. He says, if I relate to myself, I can completely understand how frustrating and annoying this situation can be when something like this happens. But believe us, it was never our intention. So clearly this guy's working from a formula email that he's got like a bunch of options that he can select for like a text paragraph of like
all of them.
He's just like, oh, run the gambit on this one.
He turned it all. He turned the email response to 11. for you.
Please, here we go. Please accept my sincere apologies for the inconvenience caused to you thus far. As an online retailer, we rely heavily on the carrier to deliver our orders to our customers, and sometimes, despite all our efforts, there can really be unforeseen incidents that are beyond our control. It wasn't really an incident. It was just someone messed up. It was one guy who messed up, and he works at USPS.
Well, that's...
Please return the item for a full refund and place a new order for the item with fastest shipping method available. Right. See, that doesn't have any bearing on me because
surprise,
it was zero cost to me. I created a free mailing label to return. Blah 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 blah. Right. So I have to return it. Now they're expecting it. And then as soon as I got this email, I thought, oh, dang it, I should have just kept it.
I accidentally, I'm also counting everything that we're doing today, by the way. One, they're not going to let you keep it. And two, that's it. That's all I have.
Wait. I see what you mean. They would start sending me like collection emails. Like, excuse me.
It looks like
you got both of those things.
Dog the Bounty Hunter is going to show up at your front door and be like, Getty, you, is that his voice?
I don't think so.
Getty, you.
I think have it's. I don't even think it's that deep.
Getty, you have two PSVR headsets, and I'm Dog. You got to give one of them back.
You think Dog the Bounty Hunter responds to Cesar Malone? He's the dog whisperer.
I live in Hawaii.
I don't think so. Does he?
Maybe.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Maybe. And sunglasses have been surgically implanted into my brain.
That show went off the air like 10 years ago, Kyle.
Yeah, I know. You're right. You're right.
That's a dated reference.
I know. You're right.
So what did your weekend look like? clearly my weekend was fraught with alerts. Stop talking.
We were. Eat food. My weekend was great, Kenny. Thanks for asking. I saw some preseason football.
Oh, yeah?
I was ready for some football, and so I went to the stadium and watched it.
Don't sing that anymore.
It was your Los Angeles Rams against the Dallas...
Why is it mine?
Because they're home. It's always...
No, it's yours because you're home in Los Angeles.
I mean, you're just as close.
No. No, 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 no.
Okay. No, it's debatable, I think.
If you called it the California Rams. Ugh.
Dodge Rams. We'll call them the Dodge Rams. They So, my Rams, they were playing the Cowboys for a preseason opener at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum in Los Angeles, of all places.
Memorial. Wait, is that the USC one?
It is, yeah. Big old bowl of tights and cereal.
What?
It's a huge bowl. Lots of fireworks. It was a pretty good time. We had some
fireworks.
Yeah, we had some pretty good seats. But the main attraction here, Kenny, of course, is the fact that I got some food.
Uh-huh. Let's hear the food that you got.
I got some stadium food. So, folks on the live stream, I'm going to replace Kenny with a giant piece of chicken. So this is called Hot Star Large Fried Chicken, and
oh my goodness,
it's the size of
Texas,
pretty much. Yeah, kind of shaped like Texas a little bit too.
No, it's not shaped like Texas. It's
you don't think so?
It's shaped like South America turned around, or Africa. It looks like Africa.
It is, yes,
with a tail for Madagascar.
On the right there, kind of.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They were connected inside the bag. So that's, I mean, yeah, that's fine. So basically what it was is just a big piece of breaded chicken. That's all one piece of chicken. Basically, imagine a giant nugget. Large nugget.
Okay, I dig it.
Okay. All right. So I had this. It was very, very good. Spicy. The little bit of spice on the outside. I also, let me go back here. I also had this bad boy, a grilled cheese sandwich.
Okay. I'm not seeing it.
It's going to.
Oh, my goodness.
Take a second for it to show up. Yeah. Grilled cheese sandwich.
Is that mozzarella?
It's a mozzarella and fontina. Let me actually get the description here of what it truly is. This is from a place called Hot Cheese Sandwiches. They say, here's your food. Now shut up. Eat this fire.
Hot cheese sandwiches sounds like the worst kind of workaround to not calling it grilled cheese.
Yes. It is not, because the cheese itself is not grilled. So if we want to get all out and brown on it.
Shut up. Eat this fire. That's great.
Shut up. Eat this fire. I got the Neapolitan pony ride. It's fresh mozzarella.
Neapolitan.
Neapolitan. Is that? But see, that's like the ice cream.
That's the point.
Okay. Fresh mozzarella, fontina, fontal, whatever that is. Celebrity heirloom tomatoes, which I didn't know. I didn't know I was in the presence of celebrity.
So this was just like grilled, like bruschetta with cheese.
Yeah, pretty much just kind of smooshed together. But of course, go down to the additional category there at the bottom. I got the finish him, which is the
bone marrow,
the bone marrow butter. And the bone marrow butter is not on the inside of the sandwich. No. That's on the outside. So this nice little, parsley mixture is then grilled into the outside of the bread.
Yikes.
For a lovely cheese sandwich. So that's what I had this weekend.
That sounds great.
Both of those were available just as little stands, tents on the inside of this LA Memorial Coliseum. I highly recommend both of them.
Is this the location that the Rams are going to play for the next 2 years?
In perpetuity? I believe so, yeah. I don't know. Well, see, you can see the crane in the background there.
Yeah.
That's where they are building the LAFC, their new MLS team stadium, which is going to be built eventually? Question mark?
I imagine that will actually be able to go up quicker than the Rams stadium.
Oh, most definitely. Most
because it'll probably be like a 10,000 seat.
Yeah.
Stadium. Yeah.
So there you go there. And I'll get Kenny back.
I dig it.
That was my weekend. So if you're ever in LA, go take a look at that stadium food. Cause I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. Their website, their website, didn't list any of the stuff that they had there.
Well, so they want it to be a surprise.
That's not the point. I need to be able to prepare myself, prepare my stomach.
You should prepare by just expecting that you're going to buy all the things at the stadium and eat all the food.
Yeah.
You shouldn't expect to go, you know what? I didn't see anything online. I'm just going to eat a big meal before I go. No, you're going to spend a lot of money and you're going to eat all the food at the stadium.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, it looked like there was Japanese writing on those.
It was Chinese hot star.
Okay, and
it is some Asian chicken. You want me to go back? I can go back.
No. It's fine. It's fine.
I just replaced you. Hot star large fried chicken. This is what the tent looked like. There since 1992.
Were they the only Chinese
food?
I don't want to call it Chinese food because that sounds weird.
I don't know how to get you out of this hole. I don't know how to dig you out. But they had a flying piece of meat.
That's pretty cool. I like that design. It looks like
is this a roundabout way of asking me if Panda Express was there?
No, you don't want to eat Panda Express at the football stadium.
I mean, maybe you do. I didn't buy any beer. The strange part of all of this, I went straight for the food. I knew the food was the most important part. They did have a number of food trucks kind of strewn throughout the back of the stadium. I just didn't care. Didn't care about that. I needed that authentic, you know, we're in a tent fare.
So is that going to be like a normal thing for the Rams home games, or is it going to be, are they going to try to turn that stadium into like a regular kind of working NFL stadium? Or are they going to do their own thing with a SoCal with the food tents and the food trucks?
That seems to be number three, whatever number three is. It seems to be that even though it was a preseason game, they thought, let's try out this food thing and see how it goes. The thing with USC games is that they can't serve alcohol. So they must have the infrastructure somewhere to be able to switch between USC games on a Saturday and then the Sunday, get all that beer in there. So
they wouldn't do that. They probably have already worked with the college schedule so that
to figure things out.
The weeks that the USC game or the USC team plays away are the weeks that the Rams play at home and vice versa.
Did you start downloading something or
did my quality go bad?
Oh yeah. Yeah, like a lot.
Oh.
Both your voice and your face.
I'm back.
Okay.
There we go. Been back to 19 milliseconds.
Okay.
I think that's a good omen for starting the headlines then.
Yeah, I think that, yeah.
These are today's headlines.
All right, Kyle, this was a big announcement from last week, but we're going to cover it because it has some bearing on us, maybe? I don't know. Disney has announced that it will remove all of its movies from Netflix with the intention of providing both entertainment and sports content via two new streaming services of its own. Kablammy. We have some updates on this, by the way, following this read that I do. As reported by Bloomberg, an ESPN and branded service is set to arrive first in 2018, which the site reports will feature 10,000 live sports events a year. This will be followed by an entertainment service, which would at home to live new action, and animated movies released by Disney and its subsidiary Pixar.
Goodness gracious.
Pull that directly from the poorly worded article. That's fine because Bloomberg is. Sorry. It's not even Bloomberg. It's GameSpot.
It's okay. We just don't edit here at GameSpot. It's fine.
Whether this would also include movies from Star Wars and Marvel, it's unclear. But I think there's been an update to this, and it is as follows from my brain. I believe that Netflix says that their deal with Netflix. Sorry, did I say Netflix and Netflix?
Yeah.
Disney's deal with Netflix that ends at the end of 2018 will include the option to like re-up on Star Wars and Marvel and maybe even other Disney stuff, probably the live action Disney stuff, but like full on animated and Pixar and stuff like that. That's the like their main first party go-to movies. That's the stuff that they want to move over to their new streaming service in 2019.
Right.
But it does not absolutely remove the possibility that Netflix will retain Disney properties. If that makes sense.
Yes, it does. Okay.
So but the big thing that I get from this is finally Disney is branching the ESPN into an ESPN only streaming service, which they've needed for about 5 years. I don't know why it's taken so long. I've asked for it for 5 years. They've had watch ESPN as the thing, but they for some reason could not remove it from cable services or DirecTV services. You had to always have a specific subscription to a different service that included ESPN, and then you would be able to watch live ESPN stuff. No, just do your own thing. You already have everything in place. You just have to have a payment structure. That's it.
They just need to take your money somehow. I feel like at this point, Disney is basically draining money intravenously from people. So it doesn't, I mean, they should just make it available as like a tax incentive. It's just sort of like you, once you're born, you get your birth certificate and your Disney login.
That's right. And I am glad that they are saying that Disney is saying that they are creating a new streaming service rather than trying to piggyback onto their Disney Movie Anywhere service.
Right.
Which is garbage. It's garbage. So I'm glad that they're building something new.
It's going to be straight from the Disney vault. They're just going to throw a coax cable into the vault and try and
you know what?
Leech those movies straight from tape.
If they called their service Disney Vault, I think that they could, that's a home run right there. I think you just figured out what they should call it.
Because I'm available.
You're exactly right.
I'm available for consultation, Disney, if you'd like to pay me millions and millions of dollars.
Because you're right, because that's been their play for the past, I don't know, 40 years, that stuff goes into the vault and then it comes out and we've released it for 3 months and you can buy it, but then it's going back into the vault. I remember those commercials. Moving on, unrelated, scientists create the first mutant ants. X ants. Right? Is that what it is?
X? No, that would be like your parents got divorced and one of the sisters is no longer a part of the family.
That's ex aunt. Have I ever told you the story? I don't need to tell you the story.
No, you don't. And you please don't tell me you say aunt.
No, I don't say aunt. But I have to tell the story now. Third grade.
Hold on. While you're telling the story, troubleshoot why you look like a single pixel at the moment, because
I look like a single pixel at the moment.
I can't handle this. You look at the stream. You look.
Oh boy.
You look mega bad.
I think my wife is streaming stuff. So okay. She's killing right. my bandwidth.
That's oh my gosh. Now it's now you're just like sheets of pixels. It's fine. Okay. It's fine. How about this? We'll get you just send your video or your audio for now. We'll make you a, okay. There you go. Perfect. All right. Got your face. Let's get the audio to work again. And you tell me about your aunt.
Okay. No. Third grade, we were reading James and the Giant Peach. And at that point, there was a movie that had come out. And we had watched the movie before we started reading the book, which is stupid. But you remember the part where those little, like, fusilli pasta things were jumping in and out of the apple and the peach and all the stuff? Remember that in the movie?
There's pasta in that movie?
You remember the, like, the glowy worm things?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Glow. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I remember that part pretty vividly when I'm in third grade. And then we started reading the book. And my teacher, who was coming directly from sixth grade, decided, I need to quiz the kids on every chapter of the book. Because she's dumb. And she gave us verbal quizzes. She didn't have it written down. She just would say the question. And then we'd write down our answers on a sheet of paper. And she said, what did the ants want from James or something like that? And I thought, the ants? Oh, the little things. Maybe that's what she's talking about. I didn't bother to raise my hand and clarify, but I wrote down the ants were, they went into the peach and they wanted to, I don't remember what I had written. But I was referring to those glowworm things.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I heard ants. I was like, I don't think that's what they are, but sure. Okay.
Whatever she decides to call them. That's fine. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. And then she decides to self-grade at the end of the thing. So she goes, all right, question number two. What did the ants want from James? Well, the two ants wanted James to do his chores and they were really mean to him. And I thought, I don't think that's what they wanted. Yeah.
What's the motive of these small little bugs that are crawling and around?
And I think some other student had the same thing as me. And they said, I thought they went into the peach. And she goes, no. The two aunts. And I said, aunts? And she goes, yeah. And I wanted to slap her in the face. I was so mad.
Third grade must have been the worst.
It was trauma
for
it was
you.
Trauma center. It was so bad. I hate that. Kyle, it has been 20 years.
It's been a long time.
Still, Every time someone says aunt versus aunt, I just that one thing that happens.
Do me a favor. Thanks for telling me that story. I'm gonna start up my video again. You can start yours when you're ready.
Oh, okay.
That's just seeing your face throughout that whole process. Just the really intense eyes. I think was that's exactly what the stream needed. So thank you for that.
That's good. That's good. That's good. Okay, let me get back to the headlines here.
Please, would you?
Go ahead and cue up some scary music.
Okay, all right. Let's try this one.
Oh, my video is still bad.
For years, biologists have altered the genetics of organisms as varied as mice and rice. Mutant fruit flies are a laboratory staple. But ants' complex life cycle hampered efforts to grow genetically engineered ants. Until now.
On Thursday, two independent research teams described their work deleting ant genes. Two papers chronicling the first mutant ants appeared in the journal Cell, along with a third study that altered ant behavior using an insect brain hormone.
Really,
I thought I'd try a different voice that time.
Yeah, no, that did that one. Thank you for trying, I guess.
Claude Desplan,
a New York University biologist and an author of one of the studies, said that, as far as he could tell, these ants are, quote, the first mutant in any social insect.
Okay.
Let's not call them social insects, please, because I don't want to socialize with ants. They're gross and they get in my food.
Well, no, I thought they just wanted you to do chores.
All right, you're dead to me.
Okay, good, good, good.
Let's move on from the mutant ants to this one. Close this. Go away. I don't care about Walmart school specials. Get out of my way.
No, we do. We do. We actually, that's what this, we're pivoting this podcast into just reading advertisements for Walmarts.
Okay, here. Well, related to me in third grade, 20 years later, the N64 will finally get a usable controller.
Oh, where is that one? Do I have it? Yeah.
Finally.
There we go.
A group of inventive gamers took it upon themselves to improve one of the worst video game controllers of all time. It's a sentiment that apparently many share, considering they funded their project on Kickstarter in less than a day. Kablammy! Retro Fighters have reinvented this Nintendo 64 controller, enticing backers on Kickstarter with the prospect of being able to play some classic games with a controller that actually makes sense. At the time of the reporting, the project has received more than $40,000 from backers, way past its $13,000 goal. And you remember the N64 controller, right? With its three-prong handle deal.
I needed to talk to you about this. So I didn't write the headline, obviously. I think I have personally a completely different perspective on how good the Nintendo 64 controller was, because I loved it. I have fond memories of using that center, whatever your third hand stick with the joystick and the Z button to play GoldenEye. It was the single best way to play a first person shooter.
All right, now let's roll back. I understand the merits of your argument here, Kyle. Let's go back to GoldenEye for a second. You're holding the joystick, the middle part with the joystick in your left hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Z button, the trigger,
mm-hmm.
with your left hand.
Mm-hmm.
Incorrect. No, you do not, unless you're left-handed, you do not hold the gun with your left hand and you do not pull the trigger with your left hand.
I am. See, that's the problem. I am.
That's fine. That's fine that you are. But what it did was it forced everybody to do that. Which is, that's dumb.
That's how the 64 crumbles. It's how it goes. Deal with it.
But without the N64 controller, we wouldn't have, we wouldn't have the
D-pad and the joystick. Yeah.
We wouldn't have those things be as necessary. Oh my gosh. Necessary. I almost said necessity, but as necessary on games, you know, because like Golden, like you said, GoldenEye was the first like big shooter that, yeah, that made it on the map and forced people to go, well, you know, maybe shooters need the 360 movement from the joystick, but also you need, you know, strafe and stuff with a D-pad or maybe even another stick. And that's where Halo came. That's like, what was that? 3 years later in 2001, Halo with the big Xbox controller, mm-hmm, had two joysticks, and one was movement, one was like the strafing and
looking
up and down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me continue reading this so that we can just kind of go over what this controller looks like, unless you, okay, want to pull it up on the stream.
Sure. Which, yeah. Let me see here. I have to pull up the notes. Don't worry, folks. I'll pull up. These are what our scary notes look like 20 years later. Mashable. Yeah. All right. I pulled it up.
Okay. And as you pull it up, I'll read this. Unlike more modern controllers, players would easily be able to use both the D-pad and the joystick on the N64 controller. That's what we were talking about. But that theory hasn't proved as useful as the original design intended, and Retro Fighters wanted to fix that. Not only that, they vastly improved the notoriously bad joystick with a better grip and less janky fitting.
There we go. Yeah.
Made the hand grips that's more ergonomic and improved the triggers. There was not multiple triggers, but I guess they added just two Z buttons. I guess they responded the same exact way.
Yeah. Okay. That's not bad.
Is this still going, by the way? Is the Kickstarter still going?
Yeah. 24 days to go.
I need to back this then.
Here's the, yeah, you can see the one.
It's only $20. No,
that's the prototypes.
Yeah. $20. I can get the thing for 20. My wife still plays. Oh my gosh. I need to do this right now, this instant.
All right.
Yeah. United States, continue. I'm going to do this on the project. On the podcast.
Mm-mm.
Log in.
You saw about this project, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. I was clicking on it.
Well, there you go.
Click. There we go. Yeah. So this is awesome. Pledge done. Look at that. Congratulations. Awesome.
I'm so reluctant to back a Kickstarter project. You never know. You never know when you're going to get that. Cause
that's fine. That's fine.
Okay. Well, I've never used I haven't used a Nintendo 64 controller in a long time. I think my lizard brain would probably appreciate something like this because it's better than it used to be and is more like the controllers nowadays. It took me a very long time to get used to the PlayStation controller.
What?
Having
this thing?
Yes, having the two sticks next to each other like that rather than like ones on the top and the bottom like the Xbox.
Oh, like the 360 or the Xbox One? Like
this guy? Yeah.
Wait, I gotta go to my Hangouts here.
Yeah, so...
Oh, I see what you're showing me. Yeah. That's the Xbox One, correct?
Yes. This is more close to the... I like that we both have two white controllers. This is called Show Me... Welcome to Show Me Your Controller. Mine's not that grimy. Yours... I mean, it's pixels.
Mine's so dusty, can't tell. Really.
This is closer to what they're actually putting out. So I'm interested. I'm interested in it. That's it.
Okay.
That's all I've got. I will not be backing it.
Well, I will be. Well, let me go on to the next story here, Kyle. A waste of dough? EU spends millions building robot that makes pizza. Hey, speaking of pizza robotics.
Nobody knows, if they're new to the show, they don't know what that is.
Wow, bummer. Well, I used to be called Pizza Robotics.
You also used to be called Kenny Loves Pizza. Wait, you make up your mind.
No, I like having a bunch of them.
It should be Ant Pizza.
Ant Pizza.
That way, folks don't know which one you're saying, and then they type it in wrong, and then they don't follow you. That's the joke.
No, that's awful. I would kill myself.
Okay.
No, don't say that. But I made my Pizza Robotics Twitter handle after we covered a story about robot pizzas here in Silicon Valley. Remember that?
I do remember that. Yes.
Okay. Well, this is in the European Union, and they're spending millions of euros on developing a robot that can make pizza, and not like the Zoom pizza robots that we were talking about from Silicon Valley, which is basically just what is it, like a factory that's just kind of run on its own.
Do they 3D print it, like print the dough or the
it's all on a conveyor belt.
Okay, all right,
it just runs itself and it's a quote robot.
See, that's
but this one,
that's my
this
problem is, I can't separate the whole 3D printed pizza, 3D printed food from the made by a robot food.
Right.
Seems inextricably linked forever.
Well, this one has a bunch of visuals that you may want to show on the stream. This robot has visual sensors in its head to, quote, see in real time.
All right.
And uses software to train itself and act like a pizza chef.
No, that's the wrong one. I just clicked on the wrong one. There we go.
Well, it is learning how to knead, stretch, toss, and twirl the dough, add ingredients, and slide the pizza into an oven. This is like a legitimate robot with arms and a face and a body.
This is silly. It's a two ingredient pizza. Oh no!
Ooh, music.
It's gonna play. Yeah, this is
Roadie Man, which is short for robotic dynamic manipulation, is a 5-year project supported by a 2.5 million euro grant from the European Research Council. The council was set up by a European Commission in 2007 and funds scientific and technological research, which is exactly what pizza is, I suppose.
You really just
need to look at these pictures.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're not even pictures. They're like 3D renderings of what it possibly could be. It's terrible. This is terrible.
I like what you were describing, like a conveyor belt where these robot, quote unquote, robots are purpose built to simply dump whatever topping is necessary onto the pizza. It's like a car factory, right?
Yeah.
It starts from dough and then it slowly, you put the door panels on and then you put the seats inside and then eventually at the other end you get a pizza.
That's right.
And that's
drive it away.
And you drive your pizza away. That's all I want from this. I don't need it to look like it has arms and tentacles and feet and things like that. It doesn't need to look like it's drizzling the cheese over the top of the pizza before it uses a human implement to put the pizza in the oven. It does not need to. No.
Right. Exactly. It doesn't need to look like human because, in fact, humans now that make pizzas are super efficient at making pizzas by hand. Right.
That's right.
You try to teach a robot how to do it, it's going to be fraught with errors and bugs and bugs on your pizza. Don't want that.
That's not how that works. That works, Kenny.
Well, then I'll move on to
you're this back.
Next story.
You're back. People can see you now.
Okay, good. Okay. Good. Hello, everybody. CNN will live stream the solar eclipse in 360-degree 4K. All right. Well, Kyle, the solar eclipse is just a week away. It's 6 days away, according to my brain. That's telling me that it's next Monday. And unless you've been hiding under a rock, you know that this is an experience you simply cannot miss.
Or how about you live in another country and you don't make all your news so U.S.-centric?
Well, we live in the USA, so it's kind of big for us, I suppose.
Everything is big for us, I suppose.
Yeah, but if you don't live in the eclipse path and can't travel for it, or you waited too long to make your plans, there are a few options for live streaming the event, and CNN is one of them. They revealed their plan for the eclipse, a 360-degree live stream for multiple locations along the eclipse's path.
All right.
The event will start at 1 p.m. Eastern, which is 10 a.m. Pacific, next Monday, August 21st, and features a live show called CNN's Eclipse of the Century. Oh, gosh. They're already naming it? Eclipse of the Century?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it comes back in 70 years, which is, again, in this century.
But it's
stupid.
Okay. Yeah, I guess point made. Do you think they should give them names like hurricanes then?
No.
Like Eclipse Fred?
Eclipse Fred? Yeah. No, it should be like Eclipse. It should just be Eclipse 2017. Because like then we know like exactly which one it is. Yeah.
Hmm.
Or 821? Eclipse 821? Nah, that's too many numbers.
Yeah,
I guess 2017 is also too many numbers.
Because then it would never... It's four, though. It's not...
Let's continue. Okay. The really interesting part of this announcement, though, is the breadth of the broadcast. It will use multiple 4K 360-degree cameras placed along the eclipse's path from Oregon to South Carolina, allowing viewers to see multiple eclipse events virtually. I wonder if I could see this on my new VR headset. Let's see. Maybe. Viewers all around the world will be able to tune into this 4K event at cnn.com/eclipse.
Nope, probably not.
And CNN's mobile apps. Additionally, the live stream will be available in VR with Samsung Gear VR powered by Oculus and Oculus Rift via Oculus Video. Finally, the entire thing will be streamed on CNN's Facebook page, thanks to Facebook Live 360.
Got it.
Thank you for throwing up during my entire read. I see that you're wearing your eclipse glasses a little too early. Are they polarizing?
I don't know. Do we still agree on things?
Nope.
Didn't think so.
They must be polarizing. Last story here, Kyle. 100-year-old Antarctic fruitcake found in, quote, excellent condition. You can get a lot of money for that Charizard card if it's in excellent condition. Conservators with Antarctic Heritage Trust have uncovered a perfectly preserved fruitcake that dates back to Robert Falcon Scott's. Oh, that's such a cool name. Robert Falcon Scott. That's a great name. His ill-fated Terra Nova expedition, which began in 1910. The fruitcake, which was manufactured by the now defunct Huntley and Palmer's Biscuit Company, also a cool name. The fruitcake was discovered in a long abandoned hut in Cape Adare? I don't know how to say that one. It's Antarctic, I suppose.
We don't have Garko's help on this, too. I'm sorry. I apologize.
That was an important landing site and base camp used by early Antarctic explorers. The cake found inside a badly degraded tin box was in remarkably good condition, appearing almost edible. Would you eat it, Kyle?
I think that's the whole point of this story, Kenny.
Well, I'm asking you halfway through the story. I would. I would totally do it.
I think I would too.
Over 100 years?
See, the image, the problem is the image is like this big old brick thing.
You're not supposed to look at the image.
Okay. Slice it? Maybe? Yeah. I'd blend it. You would blend it?
No, I'm kidding. to prepare the recently discovered cake for its return, the conservators... Is that how you would say that word? Conservators?
I'm not... Your guess is as good as mine. I'm not looking at the story. This is not my job.
Okay. They've removed all of the dust from the tin, repaired the torn paper on the exterior, and applied stabilizing chemicals to both the tin and the fruitcake, which was otherwise incredibly in excellent condition, as I said before. So it doesn't appear that anyone will be eating the fruitcake anytime soon, which is just as well. That's one nasty dessert, whether it be 100 years old or fresh out of the oven. Thank you, Gizmodo. Well, I guess it would be out of the freezer because it's Antarctic.
Ooh. Well, it's probably, I mean, what? Permafrost? Probably? Antarctic? It's going to be always cold.
You would probably touch it and it would break apart like astronaut ice cream where all the moisture is gone. Right? I imagine it'd be like dehydrated at this point.
Yeah.
Or would it just be... like solid rock, like marble, like really, you get a fruitcake that you could build a house with.
No. You put it on your countertop. You could use them as countertops. It's Antarctic fruitcake countertops.
Oh, look at the marbling on that one.
It looks like marbles, kind of. Is that what marbles
in your hand?
Is that what marbles are made of? Marble.
Okay, Kyle. Just get on to the next thing here.
Okay.
You're confusing yourself.
I'm looking for the next thing.
Marbles.
Look, I can't look at the notes and look at you at the same time. Sorry, live stream. Let me move.
What?
Let me move this over.
No, you can.
I can't. I actually did not separate them.
Oh my God.
Sorry, live stream. Hey, everybody. Kyle's back. Today is also National Lemon Meringue Pie Day.
Yummy.
Kenny, let me tell you some facts about lemons.
Okay.
And
not lemon meringue pie.
And also not cars that are not well made and broken. Lemon trees bloom and produce fruit all year round. Each tree can produce between 500 and 600 pounds of lemons in a year.
Wow. I guess like a full grown tree, not like just a, I just planted my lemon tree. I got 600 pounds of lemons.
It just won't stop. It won't stop giving me lemons. It broke, broke the ground. Oh, go ahead. It broke, yeah. broke the ground. Okay. Let's see here. What was the other? California and Arizona produce 95% of the entire U.S. lemon crop.
Wow.
I did not know that.
Probably, it's around, I wonder what the world crop
it'd be
would
five,
be from it, California.
It'd be 5% of, oh, you mean, lemon. I understand. Yeah, no. I understand what you're saying.
Let's see. Citrus, world markets, and trade from the USDA. You continue talking.
I have nothing else to tell you. Those are the two interesting facts that I wanted to tell you. I mean, I could tell you the other things that foodamentary.com told me to say, but
California lemons. World.
You know better than to Google during the show, right? You know that this is
citrus production from Wikipedia. I can't find it. Definitely not. Definitely not 95% of the entire world crop. But the fact that California and Arizona produce 95% of the U.S. crop is pretty. It's pretty impressive. But how do lemons grow in Arizona? Isn't it lava down there?
It's not lava. Is they have green stuff sometimes.
They have green stuff sometimes. That's right. Not year round. That's probably where you get like 2 pounds of lemon.
Have you ever been to Flagstaff, Kenny?
Kyle, you know I've been to Flagstaff.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. You've been to Flagstaff and you know that it's pretty green and high up.
I didn't see any lemons in Flagstaff.
It's just fields of lemons, fields and fields and fields of lemons. They fill up the Grand Canyon every year with lemons because of the production of lemons.
That'd be a good trivia. Like, can you fill the Grand Canyon with a year's supply of California and Arizona lemons?
Kenny, are you saying that you want some trivia?
That's right. I do want some
trivia. You want to play a game, Kenny?
I do want to play a game, Kyle.
Let's play a game.
Is it a nickname or is it not?
Kenny,
you need to guess. Is it a nickname?
Is it?
You need to guess if it is a MLB nickname or not.
Hey, Kenny, it's... It's time to play MLB nickname or not.
Oh, I really wish we could use expletives on this show. I can't tell if that was a lot of work that went into that or if it was I'm going to record myself doing a little tune that I'm going to make up on the spot and then write everything about it after the fact.
A little bit of both.
Okay.
Major leaguers will let their personalities and passions shine like never before when the newly created Players Weekend takes center stage during all games on Friday, August 25th to Sunday, August 27th.
It's coming up 2 weeks from now.
That's right. Coming up here, right after the eclipse.
That's right.
So I wanted to play a game with you to guess, of course. Is it a real nickname that's going to end up on the back of one of these jerseys that they're wearing during the Players Weekend or not? Now, the players get a choice of what they'd like to put on the back. Some of them have been able to. Some of them have not been able to get what they wanted to.
They have to be popular to get what they want.
I guess so. Or they need to work out some sort of deal externally with the brands that they are trying to rep and get sponsored on their jerseys. But there will be an article in the show notes if you want to look at all of these. Kenny, I'm going to say a nickname, and you will need to guess, is it a real nickname or not?
Okay.
And I'll tell you, if it is right, or it is a real nickname, I will tell you what team they are on, so you can go buy that jersey, because I know you'll want it.
Well, these are going to be pretty rare jerseys, I guess, if it's only shown for a weekend.
One weekend? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's eBay fuel right there.
Sounds good. Sounds good, Kenny. Let's start here. number one.
You going to read me? Are you going to just read me just the nickname, or are you going to read the nickname and who it should be tied to?
Oh, no.
Just the nickname.
Just the nickname. That's okay. That's what's going to make this more difficult.
Do I need to also come up with who it should be?
No. Why?
Okay.
You have to know every single player. No. I picked some pretty interesting nicknames, Kenny. Let's just get into the game, shall we?
All right.
Go-Go.
Go-Go. That's it's a character from Waiting for Godot. I'm going to say, yeah, real.
That is correct. It is real.
Is there a DD as well?
There is no DD. There is.
Okay.
There is no Pozo either. you impressed? You impressed?
I am impressed. Okay. I know you love that play.
Mm-hmm. They're on the Blue Jays. Go-Go is. Number two, Pringles.
I don't think that they're going to be able to get away with that. That's a lot of copyright infringement right there. So I'm going to say not.
You're right.
That would be way too hard to clear.
Number three, Mugatu. Real nickname or not?
No. No, not a real nickname.
Right. You got me. You got me.
Is it Will Ferrell? Is he going to go out there and play it?
He does play baseball.
Once.
Okay. Number four, Kenny. Beef.
Beef?
Beef.
Oh, man. Since it's not really a trademarked term, and I can imagine, like, Brandon Belt on the Giants is Baby Giraffe. Like, he's an animal, but someone's just called Beef. Yeah, I'm going to say yes, because someone else should be called Anne Franks.
Did you say Anne Frank?
Okay, who is it?
That's right. They're on the Orioles.
Beef
is on the Orioles.
Is it Manny Machado?
I have no idea. I didn't write this stuff down. It also only shows the back of the jerseys here. Please don't Google. Kenny, number five, Hubba Hubba.
Hubba Hubba.
Real nickname or not?
Hubba Hubba. Yes, I'm going to say yes.
That's right. They're on the Mariners. All right, Kenny. next one, Pancake House.
Pancake House? No, that's too many letters.
You're right.
But that would be really good. And now coming to the bat, Pancake House. Hold on. Does this mean that the announcements at like during the games at the stadiums, they have to read the nicknames?
No.
Yes. Come on. Mm-mm. That would be that. They should get new walk-up songs too related to their nickname. That would be really cool.
So would it just be like, where's the beef? Where's the beef? And then the beef shows up.
Oh my gosh. Yes. That's perfect.
Next one, Kenny. Nap time.
Nap time.
Mm-hmm.
Nap time. I'm going to say yes.
Nice. It's spelled K-N-A-P-P. Oh. Time.
They're on That's pretty good.
They're on the Phillies. Next one, Kenny. Carl's Jr.
No. Mm-mm. Nope. Nope.
Incorrect.
Can you be called Carl's Jr.?
They're on the Cubs.
That's trademark infringement.
I think it's Hardee's over there, so it doesn't matter.
But that doesn't mean that Carl's Jr. doesn't exist.
Maybe. I don't know.
I guess if anything, Carl's Jr. should buy up a ton of those jerseys, mm-hmm. and be able to hang them everywhere.
Yes. Give them to their employees, maybe.
Oh, that'd be great.
They'd all be in Cubs jerseys, unfortunately. Kenny, next one. Double Fuzz.
Double Fuzz. Is that a play on Double Fudge? I wonder. Double Fuzz. Real.
I made that one up.
Okay.
Next one. All right.
Good one. Good one.
Dat Dude.
Dat Dude. I feel like this is a play on Bat boy, but it's dat dude. I don't know. That sounds stupid. I'm going to say real, though, because it sounds stupid.
That's correct. They're on the Braves.
Yeah. See, had that been wrong and you came up with dat dude and I called it stupid, you would have said, yeah, it is pretty stupid.
I'm trying to stay out of this because I don't want to. Okay. I don't want to give it away, Kenny. Next okay, one. Next one. Snapdragon 1.
Snapdragon 1? No. What?
That's real. They're on the Astros.
Snapdragon 1? What kind of nickname is that?
It's the one that's going to be printed directly on the back of a jersey.
Is it like the number one or is it the word one?
No, it's the number one.
Oh my gosh. It's like a part number.
Their number is probably different as well. So it's Snapdragon 1 and then their actual
like player, 32 player, or something. Player
number. Yeah. Kenny, next one, the tongue.
Oh, the tongue. Is it Gene Simmons? Is he playing baseball?
Maybe.
The tongue. I'm going to say no, not a real nickname.
You're right.
Cause it's Michael Jordan playing basketball or nothing, right?
What?
You know, when he slam dunks and he sticks out his tongue. Bleh.
There was, at the, I'm going to change gears here. At the football game, there was a player named Michael Jordan. And every time that they would get a tackle, it sounded real good.
Michael Jordan records a tackle.
Yeah, it was really good. Kenny, next one, unicorn.
Unicorn. I'm going to say real.
Yeah,
you're right. It's real.
They should have a horn on their hat.
So this isn't cosplaying.
But they should. Carlos Jr. should come out in a big hamburger costume.
It's just a big star. It's
like Doug from Star. From that episode where he has to dress up as a hamburger. Remember that?
Oh, boy. Kenny, next one. They're on the Marlins, by the way. I don't know if I said that.
Okay.
And next one. Don't you know?
Don't you know? Question mark?
No question mark. Just don't you know?
Oh. Well, then, yeah, that's a real nickname.
Yeah.
Because it is. That's silly that you wouldn't include the question mark.
I don't know if the question mark exists. They have numbers, but
don't you know?
Don't you 11? Know? No, it's just don't you know? Mariners.
Apparently. 11. Don't you know 11?
Next one, Kenny. Delicious.
Delicious.
Real? I don't, or not?
I would not want that printed on my jersey. Yeah, I don't care if it's my nickname. I'm going to say no.
All right. All right.
If that was your nickname, hey, delicious.
Yeah. What's wrong?
Throw me the ball. Oh, gosh.
What's wrong with that?
That sounds so bad.
All right, Kenny. Next one. Swaggy T.
Swaggy T. I'm gonna say no because Swaggy P is a basketball player, Nick Young, on the Warriors. He just signed with them.
Okay. Well,
in fact, you are wrong. That is real. They are on the Orioles.
Well, they definitely got Swaggy T from Swaggy P.
Or the other way around.
No, I don't think so. Swaggy P has been, Nick Young has been.
How about Swaggy TP?
Swaggy TP?
I think that's your nickname.
I'm Sweaty TP.
Okay.
Oh.
Next one, Kenny. The Big Bear.
The Big Bear. The Big Bear?
Mm-hmm.
Big Bear. Isn't that a restaurant? Or is that Black Bear?
No, Black Bear. Bear. Black Bear Diner.
Black Bear Diner. That's
Big
right.
Bear is where they do the skiing and the snowboarding.
Snowboarding. The Big Bear. Let's say real. That sounds kind of cool though.
That's right. It's real. Marlins.
Wow, a lot of Marlins players.
No, I've been saying Marlins and Mariners. Been kind of going back and forth between there.
A lot of M's.
Yeah. Next one. Laser show.
Laser show. That reminds me of from Dodgeball. Laser blade blazer. Let's say no. Oh, someone's really called Laser Show.
Mm-hmm. That's printed on the back of a jersey with Red Sox on the other side.
Laser show.
Yeah, Laser show. Kenny, the next one is the microwave.
The microwave.
Real,
oh my gosh.
Real nickname or not.
He's really heating up that microwave. Let's say real.
That is correct. They're on the Reds.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And last one, Kenny. Grand Salami.
Grand Salami.
Real nickname or not.
See, that's a tough one because isn't that what Chris Berman calls a Grand Slam? He calls it a Grand Salami, or he was the Grand Salami to come up with. You know what? I'm going to say not a real nickname, but it's actually really a nickname for other things, but not for the Players Weekend. So, no.
Okay. Blah, blah, blah. The roundabout way of getting there, Kenny. That's it. You actually, surprisingly, did very, very well in a round of...
Is it a nickname or is it not?
Kenny,
you need to guess. Is it a nickname?
Is it?
You need to guess if it is a MLB nickname or not.
Oh, yeah.
Shoot me now.
Well, yeah, that's
put me in a microwave. Gosh, that track, my goodness.
I'll make it available to anybody who wants it.
I have to commend you though. Past 2 weeks, you've Chris in the chat saying my 4-year-old is going to sing that all week. Yeah, that's true.
You are absolutely welcome.
Kyle's creating earworms on the morning show.
That's right. I have to.
You know, it's probably going to be stuck in my head for the entire morning or day, even.
Or not.
Exactly. Or not.
Mm-hmm.
Will it get stuck in my head or not?
It probably will. Kenny, that's it. That's all I have for today.
All right.
This is, of course, been the Good Stuff Morning Show on goodstuff.fm. If you're new to this and you're watching on Twitch or you're watching this later on YouTube, do us a favor, go over to goodstuff.fm and subscribe to the podcast. Cause if you do, we like it.
Yeah.
And if you don't, well, we won't know. So really you can't get in trouble either way.
It's just a win-win for you.
It's kind of good. It's great for you. And it's
great for us too, I guess.
It's fine for us. Doesn't do anything other than make us feel good and worth it.
We like that.
Yeah. You can also go over to Apple Podcasts. There's a link on goodstuff.fm / morning show for Apple Podcasts. You can click on it and leave a 5-star review if you like this a whole lot.
You could kind of leave whatever review you want.
But I mean, no. Well, I mean, yeah. You can.
We hope that it's a 5-star.
Are we saying what they're allowed to do, or are we saying what they know they should do in their heart?
Well, I hope in their heart that they feel it's a 5-star review. But we also accept constructive criticism. So
we do. We actually have people leaving 5-star reviews who haven't even listened to the show. That's how good this is.
They inherently know what the rule is.
That's right. And and so go do that. Yeah. Goodstuff.fm/support is also where you can directly support and influence this program. We have a link, of course, to the Apple Podcast, which is the free way of supporting the show. You can also buy things through there, which we as a network like and enjoy. They are affiliate links to things we like. So go check that out if you're interested. Keep it top of mind. You know, it's good. It's good stuff.
Dot FM.
Kenny, that's it. We'll be back again sometime next week. I have no idea what the schedule is going to be because I'll be there with you.
Oh, that's right. Maybe we'll do something local.
Because we'll be watching the sun and the moon.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a recap of the eclipse and we'll post it on the feed.
We'll have to because I don't have anything else going on that day. And I have time I got to fill. So, yeah, we'll be back again next week with something sometime. Enjoy the Players Weekend. If you want to, you can tweet us what your fake nickname or real nickname is. And I'll read it next time on the show. That'd be fun.
Perfect. Sounds great.
Until then, Kenny, Have a good week. See you back here next time.
You too, Kyle.
Okay, thank you. Thanks.
And you too, listeners.
Bye.
Bye.